This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you again from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries here in Stuart, Florida. We welcome you and greet you to our program that we have on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program, and we've called it for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. 18 plus, it's going to be 19 years here in a few weeks that we've been on the radio here with WCNO, and so we're honored to be here with you, and we pray as always that you'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you, and that you can learn from this, because we've been taught so many things about the Day of Pentecost. We're going to talk about that some more today, because Sunday, tomorrow, is the Day of Pentecost on the Jewish calendar. And so we need to address that a little bit and bring it into perspective to understand what we have today, because there's a lot of negative teaching about it in the church today that I believe is contrary to the Word of God, because we know that in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit was poured out and they were all baptized with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance, that those were ethnic languages at that time. But then later on, when we get over into 1 Corinthians 14 especially, we hear a term called an unknown tongue. So we have an unknown tongue. Now, we all have a prayer language if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, and you can't duplicate mine. I can't duplicate Pastor Donna's here, but It's a gift that's been given to every believer. God wants every believer to have that gift, that we can communicate with God and not unto man. That's the key thing with it. That we're communicating with God and not with other men. And so sometimes we pray in the Spirit and we get an understanding, but sometimes we don't. But we just pray till we get a release, and we thank you, Father God, you show us how to pray. And so before we get started here, I'm going to have my precious wife across the table here to share some things with the church and all. We had a wonderful meeting last Sunday, didn't we, Pastor Don?
Awesome. With
one new man, a Jew and a Gentile, that came to our congregation. And then we went to another meeting that they were up in a church in Fort Pierce. And it was just wonderful to hear the one new man, a Jew and Gentile, talking together about the same thing, because that's God's purpose in Ephesians chapter 2. The one new man together.
One new man.
So we had a wonderful time. And so we're honored to be here with you, as we said. So, Pastor Donna, you just tell them what you got there to tell us, and we'll go on from there about whatever you have on your heart.
And we might mention, too, that the one new man, the team, he calls it the Dean Marty team. Mm-hmm. We have a Jew, Marty Schaub, if I pronounce it right.
A Jewish person.
Dean By, the two of them are going across the United States.
Hallelujah.
And one is a Jew and one is a Gentile, but they're both believers in Yeshua. They're one new man, and they're going across the nation, and they will actually be in a Messianic congregation on the 18th of this month. So they will be coming back. They're going to be over on the West Coast, I believe, on the 17th, and then they will be back with a Messianic congregation in
Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm. So you can call us. I will definitely find out the name and address of exactly where that Messianic congregation's at in Palm Beach, if you'd like to go. Mm-hmm. But I want to mention, too, that it's called Operation Four Winds.
Whoa.
The one new man, bringing prayer and praise and worship together. And for the Jew and the Gentile. to the body of Christ and the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen. According to Ezekiel 37. So we were blessed to have them, and it was a wonderful, wonderful time. And but I want to mention also that we do have services here in Stuart, Florida. We come together every Friday for Shabbat, and then we also come together on Sunday, the first day of the week. And this Sunday is Pentecost. Wow.
Wow.
Some people don't realize it, but this is, if you have the right calendar, this is Pentecost. You know, many people celebrated Pentecost back
in
May.
Yeah.
But they don't understand the calendars. And so, but you know, we need to celebrate Pentecost every day, because Pentecost, our life should be a life of Pentecost. And that's, you know, hearing from the Lord and hearing from the Spirit of God and doing the thing that God said, because Jesus said, you know, he had to return, and then the Spirit, the Father and the Son would send the Spirit, and they'd be baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
And with fire. Mm-hmm. So it's not just for a one day time, but you know, this is the season of Pentecost, and today Sunday will be the end of the counting of the Omer. 49 days plus one comes to 50, and so that's the wheat, and we will be celebrating that this first day of the week on Sunday at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries right here in Stuart, Florida. We have the wheat, amen. And what do? We wave the wheat, and we wave the two loaves of bread.
Hallelujah.
And we celebrate that, because it's the first of the wheat harvest. And you know, Jesus talked about the wheat harvest, and maybe we should talk about that as well. He talked about summer.
That's right.
He talked about a certain amount of months. And the whole thing about the wheat harvest is to go out and gather in the wheat.
Of human beings coming
picture
into the kingdom.
Of people coming into the kingdom of God.
That's right.
Jews, Gentiles, all nations coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
Because the end is coming, you know, and Jesus said, he warned us about summer. And so we need to think about that, because this is another summer that's coming on us. And, you know, how long do we have to go out and harvest? How long do we really have? We don't know, do we?
Nope.
We don't know how, like, when Yeshua, exactly what year he's going to come and catch us away. So we need to be workers. We need to be laborers. And, you know, instead of laborers are few. But so
like
we need
bees,
to...
Bees in the hive, right?
We need to be obedient to what God has called us to do. So
amen.
This Sunday, the 12th, which is also Sivan 6,
right,
is Pentecost.
Glory
and
be
that
to God.
Is the 50th day. The 50th day. Many things happened on the 50th day, and we may talk about, do an overview of some of the things that we've already talked about. But I just want to invite you to come. And this radio broadcast is also on the internet, so you can always listen to us on the internet. Or if you happen to be driving in your car and you just turned it on the radio and you want to hear the whole thing when you get home or when you get someplace, you know, you can go to WCNO. That's WCNO.com. Mm-hmm. And go to Saturday, go to the program guide, go to Saturday, and you will see at 12 noon Raising the Standard with Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. So be blessed by this this teaching, because we're called to bring and to call the one new man, Jew and Gentile, to come to Messiah, to come and join together, to become one, because we are to worship the Lord as one. When we come to Messiah, you know, there's neither Jew nor Greek, right?
That's right.
There's neither male nor female. We're one.
That's
we
it.
Should be. We're one in Messiah. We're grafted in, and we are part of that calling that God has called to lift up Israel, to pray for Israel, to help people make Aliyah, you know, to do many things, to be able, because it says the Jew first and then the Gentile.
That's right.
So we need to join up with our brothers and sisters, with the family of Israel and the Jewish people. You know, there's a lot of Jews in America. And, you know, God is calling many of them to come home, calling them home. Now they're not all going to go back to Israel, but many will, because if the call of the Spirit calls you home, you know, how can you not do that, you know, if
be
you
obedient
get that
to
conviction,
it, right?
You know. So I want to give our telephone number, so if you'd like to come, you can call us, and we'd be glad to give you any more information you'd like to have. And or you may maybe you'd like to start studying Pastor Gene's book on the Feast of the Lord, and you want to know more about the end times. You want to know more about what's going to happen in the end, you know.
That's right.
So you know, there's a battle going on. There's a war in the heavenlies, and we're supposed to join in with the army of God. because we are the army of God, and join in and with those holy angels, because there's a battle in the heavenlies, and you know, we're told that over in Ephesians chapter 6 about the battle. And so we need to get on board with God and do what God has called us to do, each and every one of us. And because we make up the total body of Christ, and what was one will chase what? 1,000, 2 will chase, you know, the number 10,000, just increases, yeah, and increases. Right. So we need to be warriors. Well, the phone number here in Stuart, Florida is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. We want to say hello out there to all of you who listen to us every week. We thank you for your prayers.
Hallelujah.
And keep us in your prayers and for the work the Lord has called us to do. And we're going on. We're just pushing on.
Yes.
Pushing on. And, you know, every day is for the Lord. We just live for the Lord, and we just need to be obedient to what God's called each and every one of us to do. You know, things aren't always easy, but, you know, God didn't promise us it would always be easy. Look at Paul. Things weren't easy for him when he decided to come to the Lord, were they? Things got tougher. But God's called us to be strong in the Lord. Amen. So, yeah, we want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island.
Wow.
And building the
Temple
the
of God.
Church called the Temple of God. And the walls are up, and we need steel. We need steel. We call steel in to come in so they can finish the steel work at the top of the walls, so that the roof can go on.
That's right.
So if any of you would like to help out with financing that, everything is so expensive over there, you know. And at this point right now, they may have to bring steel from the United States, because there's no steel on that steel in Andros Island. So, and he needs steel to finish the roof, the part that goes up on the top of the walls.
Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
Mm-hmm. So pray for them. Pray for the Temple of God on Andros Island in the Bahamas.
Yes.
So we love you, Roscoe and Audrey, and we pray for you, and we thank the Lord for blessing you and doing what he's called you to do.
So glad to be a part of them. Yes, what they're doing for the Lord. Yes.
Amen. So here we are. We're right here on Sivan. 6 is coming up, honey.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. And the Omer is 50 days. 50
yep.
days of counting the Omer.
It ends tomorrow, doesn't it?
It started. What day did it start on?
Right after the resurrection,
the day after the resurrection, the starting counted. You know, Jesus was with them for 40 days, and then then they saw him go back to the Father. But he said to wait, and to tarry, and to go to Jerusalem. He gave them directions, and told them to wait. And you know, they knew that the Pentecost was coming. It wasn't a new thing for them. Jewish people have been celebrating Pentecost for hundreds of years ever since Moses, you know. And so they knew about Pentecost. They knew that something special was going to happen. And so they were in that upper room there on that day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit came. And it hit them big, didn't it?
Filled them all.
Holy Ghost and fire.
That's right. Filled them all. And they began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. And well, we know that tongue at that time happened to be ethnic languages, because it was languages that were spoken in the world, but the people in Galilee didn't know those languages. But that's why the people were amazed. They came from those other parts of the world, because they heard them speaking in their own language. And so that's what it was about, to bring unity. So today I think about us, and we got our heavenly language. You know, people think if we stand up and the church begins to pray in our heavenly language, not prophesying or speaking another tongue for an encouragement to the church or whatever the interpretation, but if we just want to praise God in that heavenly language that he's given us, boy, does that bring strength and unity, because we don't know exactly what we're saying with that heavenly language that God gave us, but I believe with all my heart that we're praising God. There's a rejoicing in all that he's telling us, and so we just expound that in that tongue that he gave us. It's to build us up in our most holy faith. That's what Jude said, to build up your most holy faith. How? By praying. How?
Praying
in the Spirit. Well, how do you pray in the Spirit? My heavenly language. That's how I build up this man called Gene inside. The inner man's getting stronger all the time, even though the old outside man is getting older every day. But we're building ourselves up, and that's what it's all about. And so we have this part in Acts 2. There were ethnic languages, and we can see that. As we mentioned last week, that at Mount Sinai, the Jewish people have understood this for years, that God spoke from Mount Sinai. with 70 different languages of the countries that were there at that time. And it reverberated all through the world. And those that accepted that were the ones that were part of God's kingdom at that particular time, you know, the nation of Israel. Well, only one nation said, I do, and that was Israel. The rest of them didn't. But then Israel, they rebelled and walked away from it as well. And then we see on Acts chapter 2, we've already talked about this, on the exact same day, on Sivan 6, same day that they spoke, that God spoke to them from Mount Sinai, we have something else happen. Then all of a sudden, there was an outpouring of the Spirit, and it wasn't just God speaking by himself out loud verbally. He rested on all the people that were there, and there's tongues of fire that came upon those people. And so they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them the utterance. And so what a privilege. And if you look at the nations that are mentioned in Acts chapter 2, there's not 70 there, but there's a lot of them that was written, that Luke wrote for the benefit of us today in Acts chapter 2. And it showed you all those countries. And so these men from all over the world, they were Jewish people, they had to come to Jerusalem. That was one of the three appointed times that all the males had to be there. So it must have been a huge crowd that was there. And so God took that day and poured out his Spirit. And then the great things began to happen. And so it was so important that they received it. It was for their benefit to give them power and authority to go out and do the work of the Lord. And so we got so much of the church today, they have disdain for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but we shouldn't. It was there for a purpose. And then later on, we have a thing called the unknown tongue, okay? Now, we can have an unknown tongue many times. We do that. And like in a service or a meeting, you know, so maybe someone's got a word in a tongue and they stand up and declare it, and then someone in the congregation will interpret what we just said. Well, that's an unknown tongue that needs to be what? Distinguished and explained. And the reason for it is because Paul mentions here in 1 Corinthians 14 that in verse 21, he says, in the law of the Torah is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. And so there was a reason for it. And then he says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe, but for them which believe. And we're talking about the tongue part, okay? So it's an interpretation that we have to have with some of it. But your heavenly language doesn't have to be interpreted. We can be in a service or meeting, and we can just pray in our heavenly language, mm-hmm. and it brings a unity in a great way. And if we look at this over here...
Well, you know, also, Pastor Gene, you know, Paul said, he says that praying in tongues, he says your spirit prays.
That's right.
So if your spirit is praying, you may not understand what the Spirit of God is what you're praying, because you're praying in a tongue that you may not have. If you don't get the interpretation of it, but you have the gift of praying
Amen.
In tongues. What is it? It's faith. It's mm-hmm. by faith that you pray in tongues. So when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit and you receive that gift, it's a gift. It talks about that gift.
That's right.
You know, with that we're supposed to desire spiritual gifts or spiritual things.
The gift, yes.
And Paul said he prayed in the tongues more than anybody else, didn't he?
That's right.
But, and he also said, he said, but my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So there, that tells us right there. And he prayed in tongues many times, and he didn't understand
what
he was saying. But he stirred himself up in the Holy Ghost.
Giving strength.
How do you stir yourself up in the Holy Ghost? By praying in unknown tongues.
Yep.
And many times when you pray in unknown tongues, you will get the interpretation. But if you don't attempt to do it, if you don't do it, or you hold it back, then how are you going to get the interpretation, or how are you going to edify yourself, or how are you going to build up yourself? He says your spirit prays.
That's
so
right.
We got to realize that our spirit is praying. And who are we praying? Directly to God, right?
That's right.
Directly to God. And the enemy, and there's no interference, see?
That's right.
There's no interference. It's a direct line. It's like a direct line. It's not like you're on a party line. The devil can't hear you.
You don't understand.
We used to have
that.
Party lines, right? People could pick up the phone and listen to you.
Yeah.
No. When you're praying in English and you're praying in a group, people can listen to you. They know what you're saying. But if you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you know, for a certain... You just may be praying in the Holy Ghost. You may be praying in the Holy Ghost for... I could pray for my husband in the Holy Ghost and not know what... I'm not have the understanding. Yet God could give me the understanding. But if I don't pray in the Holy Ghost, how am I even going to expect to get an understanding, you know?
Right.
So he says, your spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. And then, you know, Paul goes on to say here in chapter 14, verse 15, and this I talk about when we are in the service together. Because when we come together... it's like on Sunday morning or Friday night or Saturday or any day of the week, or just you and I come together to pray, he says that I will. And when you say I will, you're saying, when I said I will marry you, I meant I will marry you, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was an I will do this. So Paul says, he says, then what is it then? In verse 15, he says, I will pray with the Spirit. So he's making a decision to pray with the Spirit. Then he says, I will pray with the understanding also. Mm-hmm. So see, we don't just pray in the Spirit all the time. We pray with the Spirit and with the understanding.
That's right.
And then he goes on to say, and I love this, I love singing in the Spirit. He says, I will sing with the Spirit. So here we have a man, a Jewish man, who now knows the Lord, and he's going to sing in the Spirit. You know, it's hard to get some men to sing in the Spirit.
That's right.
I think about, you know, in church, you know, I say, Pastor Gene, when I start playing the keyboard and I start singing in the Spirit, I want you to sing in the Spirit too. You know, it builds. It's like a building. It's not just one person. It builds. One builds upon another. And I think about that, you know, all those voices that came at Mount Sinai. Well, you know, God spoke in all those, in one voice, but yet many voices.
That's right.
It was one voice, it was his voice, but it was distributed in many voices. That's the same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost.
That's right.
He spoke in one voice through Peter, but it was distributed through many voices because many understood. And so he says, I will sing in the Spirit. So
it's not only
to pray in the Spirit, but to sing. What does that do? What do you think? How do you think God receives that? That you're singing in the Spirit to Him. You're singing a love song to the Lord. You could be singing a love song to the Lord. You could be singing in the Spirit. You could be singing a scripture to the Lord.
That's right.
You know, God understands every single tongue, doesn't He?
Sure does.
And He gave you that gift. He gave you your tongue, so He understands it. So when you sing back in the Spirit, He says, I will sing in the Spirit.
Right.
And then many times, as we have experienced many times in our services, that when we sing in the Spirit, God, then we all will also sing in the understanding, because God will give us the interpretation of what we're singing in the Spirit. So we're singing, we choose, we make a choice to sing in the Spirit. And then the next thing it says, and I will sing with the understanding also. So it shows me here that, you know, God will give us the interpretation.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Of what we're singing or what we're praying in the Spirit. And many times He does. Mm-hmm. But when we are praying to God in the Spirit or singing to Him in the Spirit, it's Spirit to Spirit. It's my Spirit, small s, to the Spirit of God,
right,
capital S. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so what are we doing? I'm joining in with the praises and the heavenly angels, and joining in with the things of heaven. We're connecting.
That's right.
It's the Spirit of God. It's a connecting. It connects us together. So without that, you're missing something. You're missing that connection. You know, if you don't take those two wires and hook them together, you're not going to get anything. You're not going to get any electricity. It's at the power source. It's the power. It's what brings the power of God into our lives. It's like that electricity in our life.
You know, someone might be saying here, Pastor Donnie, we talked about Acts chapter 2, and we compared it to Exodus chapter 19, when God spoke from Mount Sinai. There were 70 tongues or 70 languages at that time. Well, you read over in Acts 2, we don't see 70 here. There's a bunch. But we look at one thing, it says in verse 9, it says the Parthians, the Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia. Mesopotamia was a big, huge area where there's a lot of different nations and tongues there, and Judea and all. And then it says Asia at the end, verse 9. Mm-hmm. Asia is a huge area that covered a lot of different ethnic languages and all that. And then it concludes in verse 11 with the Cretes and the Arabians. We do hear them what? Speak in other tongues the wonderful works of God. So they were all in tongues. They were speaking the wonderful works of God. And so here we see at the end, it talks about the Arabians. Well, a lot of countries considered Arabian, the language and all that. So we see all this. And so it was amazing what God did. And that's what it says in verse 12. They were all amazed, weren't they?
They were all amazed. And they were speaking the wonderful works of God. So when you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you know, you can't but talk about the things of God. You know, and Paul goes on to say, even he says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all.
That's right.
So he's not telling us that we shouldn't speak in tongues. In verse 16, he says, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit. So here, with tongues, we bless people.
Right.
We bless people, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
How shall he that occupied the room
of an unlearned.
Of the unlearned, say amen, at the giving of thanks. So we are giving thanks and we are blessing with the Spirit, yet he's saying, how are these other people going to understand? Well, if they're in the Spirit, they may not necessarily have to understand. But what about somebody who comes in into the congregation and they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? And they don't understand how the Spirit can bless even without us having understanding.
Right, or an interpretation of it. Yeah.
Because they don't see it. They don't understand it. And it says, say amen. Thy giving of thanks, because it's giving of thanks, praying in the Spirit, praying over somebody in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Many times we pray over people in the Spirit, and sure then God gives us the interpretation.
Right.
Seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. So then he says, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. They don't understand. So, but he goes on to say, but I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. So it didn't stop him from praying in the Spirit, did it?
That's right.
Yet he says in the church, I had rather speak five words. So when he's teaching, right, speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also. So what do you, when you're speaking in understanding, what are you doing? You're teaching. See, people just say, well, it's cause of confusion. No, when you speak it in another language, five words, he says, only five words. He says it's five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach. So there's the key word, those five words of understanding, teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if he spoke 10,000 words in an unknown tongue, wow. You know, he said, and he did it. He spoke in tongues a lot. He said he spoke in tongues more than all of them. So he needed it, and you know, today we need it as well.
That's right. It's incredible. Now I was thinking about this, Pastor Donna. We're still in chapter 14. Mm-hmm. If we go over to the first couple of verses in chapter 14, Paul says, "Follow after charity." We talked about this love before.
Love.
And desire spiritual gifts. Now the word gifts in the Bible is in italics. The translators added that to help have clarity. But you know what you think about? The spiritual gifts are what? They're really spiritual things, aren't they? Desire spiritual gifts or things, but rather that you may prophesy. And now here's the key verse. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue. Now, okay, this is not your prayer language. This is another unknown tongue. Speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he what? He speaketh what? Mysteries.
Mysteries. So when you're speaking in tongues, you're speaking mysteries. Amen. And God's given them to you, doesn't he? The
That's
mysteries.
Right.
Well, even if you leave out that word gifts, okay, if you don't even put things in
just
there.
Just spirituals. You
it's
put
spiritual.
It, yeah, spirituals.
What?
Yeah.
Whatever is spiritual.
That's right.
And, you know, God's the one who gives these spiritual gifts or things.
Yeah.
And so they're all, they come from God. Prophecy comes from God.
Sure.
Miracles come from God, don't
Absolutely.
They?
Sure do.
You know, tongues and interpretation comes from God. Knowledge comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
Revelation. What about the revelation?
That's right.
Praying in the Holy Ghost brings revelation.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly need that. We need that. Well, they say there's no new revelation. Well, everything is in the Bible, but is
we
God
illumination,
not
don't
but
we?
Is God not revealing things to
That's
us?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Is he not revealing things in our life to us to guide us and lead us so that we will not fall off, so that we won't be in danger? You know, God will speak to you even where you're going somewhere. Maybe he'll change your plans.
That's
but
right.
We don't always listen. You say, mm-hmm. oh, well, that must not be God. But, you know, God wants to protect us and keep us from harm. So you know, many times God will speak to us. And so it would be by revelation, because it's a thing that for our life.
That's right.
It's not something that we're going to be changing in the Bible, because every word of God needs to line up with God's word.
Amen.
As far as, you know, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the Amen. Testimony of Jesus Christ there.
That's right. I think about I many times I pray in my heavenly language, and then it'll just shift into an unknown tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recognize it, but I know what my heavenly language is when I pray, and I know that's the tongue that God gave me, and nobody can duplicate what I have. But it'll shift many times into an unknown tongue. Now, this caught my eye, John.
Well, so when you're go ahead and say that. But when you're speaking in tongues, it's going to bring either revelation or knowledge or prophecy.
That's right.
Or doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, so it's important that we would do that, because we don't know all things. But God does, and he knows everything that we need to. He knows everything that we may need to say to somebody else. So if praying in tongues could give us the revelation or the prophecy to speak forth the understanding, the words in English that would be an understanding. Sure. Well, what if I never spoke some Oriental language,
right?
And some Oriental person comes into the church, right? And they need prayer. Well, I don't understand them. They don't understand me. We had
a couple here like that last week.
If I could speak in tongues and they could speak in tongues, we'd probably be better off speaking in tongues to each other.
Yeah.
You know, somebody might think, well, Pastor Donnie, you're really getting off, you know. But no, because they're speaking the wonderful works of God, and they're in unity, they're in unison. See, the Holy Spirit is always going to be in unity. But and then what happens? You know, I don't speak in, say, Korean, and they don't speak in English. And then all of a sudden, we're praying in the Holy Ghost, and I get revelation, and I start speaking in a language that I don't know. And it's not my prayer language. Now it's Korean.
Yeah.
Wow.
Possible. That's right.
And so that's very possible. And I actually had an experience like that when I first, many, many years ago, when I was teaching school, I had a new student come into my class, and she didn't speak one word of English, right? And she was wild. She would get on top of tables. She would get on top of lunch tables. She would jump on my back. You know, I said, oh, you know, and they thought, well, I was the best place to put her, right? And well, I was, after about the third day, I was just like, I couldn't take it. And I said, this is it. You know, I can't take it anymore. All of a sudden, she ran across the room and jumped on my back. All of a sudden, I start saying things in another language.
That's right.
I didn't know what the heck I was saying. This little girl, she just straightened right up
and sat down.
I never had another day's problem with her. She learned English so quickly, and she was one of the brightest students I had in my class. I didn't know what I said to her, but whatever I said to her was
her
in her language.
That's right.
She knew exactly what I was saying to her, and it straightened her up right away.
That's right.
And so I never spoke to her again in that language again. No, mm-hmm. She learned English very quickly. But see, whatever I said to her, it changed things.
That's right.
See, the Spirit of God will change things.
That's what it
But I wasn't speaking in tongues, because I knew my tongue language.
That's right. So it was an unknown tongue that you didn't know.
It was her language I was speaking in.
That's right. That's right. Now, another thing I noticed here in chapter 14, two verses. Verse 6 says, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine. Now we go to verse 26. How is it then, Paul says, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm,
mm-hmm.
hath a doctrine, hath a tongue. Here's a tongue.
Individual tongue.
Hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto what?
To edify.
Then he goes on to give instructions about the unknown tongue. And then I like the last two verses in... the last three, verse 37 says, if any man, it means any person, you know, hallelujah, anyone, any man, think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Well, the church needs to get a hold of that. These are commandments of the Lord. When God gives a commandment, he doesn't change it, does he, Pastor Don? And then he says, but if any man, anyone, be ignorant, let him be ignorant.
If you don't
want to find out about it, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet. This is the only thing that God tells us to covet in the Bible. Covet to prophesy. And listen to this. And forbid not to speak with tongues, because it edifies us. And then he says, let all things be done decently and in order. Well, people say, well, if you do those things that people are doing in church, as they all pray in tongues, well, things are out of order. No, that's what God wants. It happened on the day of Pentecost. He wants to, that's what brings the unity together, and to praise God and worship and talk about the attributes that he has. That's what comes out with all this. And so it would be done properly. So he should let all things be done decently in order. Well, how can it be done decently in order if no one will let it happen, okay? So we have to trust God with this, and it's amazing what he can do with it. And so this is just an incredible thought, and we have a lot of interpretations with people about what tongues is all about. But I have a heavenly language that the Lord gave me years ago. As I said before, many times I'll start praying in my heavenly language, and all of a sudden, there'll be another tongue come out. And then maybe another tongue come out that I have no clue what it is. Sometimes I get an understanding from it, but a lot of times I don't. But see what it does? It builds up the inward man, doesn't it, Pastor Don?
Amen.
We may not know, but it builds up the inner man. Because when you pray in tongues, you're praying out of your innermost being. It's like it says in John chapter 7. It's like a river flowing out of you.
That's it.
It'll just come out. So it bubbles out, and it'll give you strength and encourage you. So it's important.
And it comes from your belly.
That we have, yeah.
It's not something you work up in your throat, you know, or
right.
or you pray about, you know, it's just, it comes, it's a natural, it comes from your belly. It's like turning on, it's
a faucet.
So simple, like turning on a faucet.
That's right.
You know, and you can turn on the water faucet, you can turn off the water faucet. Well, it's the same with praying in the Holy Ghost. You can turn it on and you can turn it off. It's a gift, it's given to us, you know, and we are to covet the best gifts. It also says that to covet the best gifts, Pastor Gene, in chapter 12.
That's right. So what's and the best gift, honey?
So the best gift, I believe the best gift is what is ever needed. But,
at that
you know,
time.
But the gift that was given on the day of Pentecost was the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so that is the one that the engine that starts it up.
The empowerment.
It's what starts it up. Whether you would be prophesying, what would be a word of knowledge, what would be healing, what, you know, revelation. It's the one that gets everything going.
Brings
everything
into the supernatural.
Comes from that. It's the one. It's the gear that gets all these other things to work in our life that brings forth these other gifts. All these other gifts.
Right.
So I believe it's. I don't know if you'd say it's the best gift, but it's the one that initiates
you into all the other gifts.
That's right. But
First Corinthians 12 talks about the nine manifestations of the Spirit. Well, mm-hmm. they're all given by the Spirit, okay? And mm-hmm. so if we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit's dwelling in us mm-hmm. like that, well, then those are available to be pulled out of us if mm-hmm. God wants at certain times. That would be the best gift at a particular time with someone that has a
right.
need. Well, that's
but
the
you
best
need
gift.
The gift of the Holy Ghost
but you have to
be
have
able
that.
To bring that forth.
I got a book called God's Empowering Presence.
Okay? Amen.
It is the empowering presence that takes us into the supernatural. Now I want to share something
else. And there's
nine
of them you mentioned.
That's right. Nine manifestations of the Spirit.
And then we also need to remember what it says in Galatians. We need the nine fruit of the Spirit.
That's right.
Because if we don't have the nine fruit of the Spirit, how can we follow after charity when we have these spiritual gifts it talks about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14,
right.
1. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. But if we don't have these are the gifts. We're talking about the nine gifts.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the nine fruit of the Spirit? See, we can't operate in these gifts if we don't have charity. Charity will bring all the nine fruit
the
of the Spirit.
First fruit is what? Love.
Right. So we need the fruit of the Spirit to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Otherwise, it's like, it even says, it's like where you're making a just a sound, you know?
That's right. It doesn't make any sense. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we got to remember this because, you know, the church for years, there's things happen in the church and we can't change what the Bible says because some people misuse this, we know. But some people misuse tongues and interpretation and even prophecy to correct and do things that they shouldn't be doing or take up offerings and all that. Well, that's out of order, okay? That's not what it was, the purpose of it. It was to build us up and bring the unity in the body of Christ. And so I want to share another thing here that we've talked about in the past. But I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 4 with you. I want to show you something about, you know, the Greek language has a thing called indefinite article. And most of the time it's the word the, T-H-E.
Mm-hmm.
In chapter 4, verse 10, it says this. And see, these other Bibles don't show this, but the King James is very clear on this. Verse 10 says, as every man hath received the gift.
The gift.
Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, these other Bibles say, as every man hath received a gift. Well, we might have a gift, but Peter's talking about the gift that he got on the day of Pentecost. The gift is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so if we have that, well, then we can minister what? The same giftings that we get from the Holy Ghost, those nine manifestations, what God wants, then we can minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So this is interesting. This is the gift. It's very clear. Now, the other thought with this, I want to go take you back over. We talked about this last week a little bit, but not like this. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 again here, where we were at a little bit ago. And we can see this definite article again, and we have to understand what God's trying to show us with all this. So here we go. Chapter 2, you know, Peter stood up on that day, preached the power of God, the anointing about Jesus, and he was and the promise of the Holy Ghost. Verse 33 in chapter 2 says, therefore, this is Peter speaking, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Hear this? He hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. They all heard that on that day. All right? Now, let's go on down now. Let's just read this. For David is not ascended into the heavens, the scripture says, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, or Yeshua, whom you have crucified, what? Both Lord, it means he's God, and he's Christ, he's the anointed Messiah. Now when they heard of this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. So first of all, we have to what? We have to repent. We have to turn back to God. We have to repent of our sins and all. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of what? Of who? Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive, here we go, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen? The gift. Now here's a definite article again. So this gift here is not talking about salvation. The salvation came when they got repent, when they repented and came to Christ, okay? So the gift here is what? The gift. It's the gift of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He tells you right here.
That's it.
The gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. Don and I, we're far off from what that day, when that day happened, but we are still receiving and still active today. It's never been stopped. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. One of the doctrines was what? To receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayer. And it says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed together, and all that believed were together, and had all things in common. So we see this right here, that the baptism was so important in that particular day. And it still is. God has not stopped this. But people try to tell you that he stopped this, but he hasn't. We need to be doing the same thing. I like that. Verse 41, then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 Jews came into the kingdom of God. Like it was the first fruits after Pentecost. That's
because they were in Pentecost
that's
on
right.
that time.
That's
they
right.
knew they were supposed to be in Pentecost.
Right.
There's three times during the year that they're supposed to all go to Jerusalem, and they were there.
So that was like a wave offering before the Lord. 3,000 souls came to Yeshua at that time. It's amazing when we think about it. Amen. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
So this thing about tongues is so important. My heart goes out that so many denominations run it down and speak against it. And there's been some cases of men in the pulpit preaching against the baptism that had a heart attack and dropped dead in the pulpit. Is it going to come to the days of Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to the Holy Ghost? See, when we do what we're talking about here, not agreeing with what God says, we're literally what? We are what? When we talk about the baptism, what are we doing? We're blaspheming the Word of God. And God, what he's given this to everybody. His desire is that every single believer that comes to Yeshua would all have a heavenly language, that they could pray and build themselves up and to do the work of the Lord. It's so important.
God's the one who gave it to those 120 people
That's
in
right.
that upper room. Not just to the disciples, but to all, to 120 people. And some of them were women.
That's
and
right.
so it shows us that God, this gift is for all people,
everyone.
For everyone who calls upon the name of Jesus.
That's right.
And I want to read this over here in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. It says, wherefore I give to you to understand. See, God wants us to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God.
That's right.
Calleth Jesus accursed. So you're not going to do that. Amen. And that, and then he goes on, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost.
That's it.
So here we have the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. So now he goes on to say, now there are diversities of gifts. So you talked about these different
That's
gifts.
That's right.
But the same Spirit. It's
That's
the
right.
same. It's come from the same Spirit of God, right?
That's right.
And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, the Lord
That's
Jesus
right.
Christ. And there are diversities of operations, but it is of the same God. So here we have the Spirit, all capital S, the Lord, and God, which worketh all in all. They're the ones that worked in all of all. Now we're talking about these
he
nine
gifts. He works all gifts in all people.
Now we talked about these nine gifts that you talked about a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal.
It's for everybody.
For everyone.
Yeah.
For to one is given by the Spirit of God the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit.
Keep going, honey.
To another the working of miracles.
Oh, Shemam, baby.
And another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. Boy, do we need discerning of spirits
sure
in this hour.
Today.
And to another diverse kinds of tongues. Now, what I said to that, like when I spoke to that child that I told you about, that was a diverse kind of tongue. To another interpretation of tongues.
That's right.
But he says, goes on, he says, but all these
all
worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. They all come from the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Dividing to every man severally
as he
God wills. As he wills.
That's right.
So here we have all of these wonderful gifts that come because of the day of Pentecost.
That's right.
Because of the outpouring of God's Spirit upon those 120 people. And it wasn't to just stay in that room or to stay in that city, because Jesus said to go.
That's right.
And it was to go throughout all the world. And now it's gone throughout all the world. There's people mm-hmm. who speak in tongues in every single country.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like the Jewish people are all over the world, you know, and God is calling them back to Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. He's calling us to, because the time is coming when Yeshua is going to return to that Mount of Olives and, you know, to Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
to that holy place where he left.
That's right.
But all of these gifts were given to us, what? That we fulfill the call that God has upon our life.
That's right.
And it goes on and, you know, it goes on and on. But we're to know these things and
right.
we're not to be ignorant of these things. Paul didn't want us to be ignorant of these things.
That's right. Now, if we go into chapter 13, which is the charity chapter, now this we got to keep in mind, this whole chapter is referring, leading up to, that showing us that anything that we do in the realm of the Spirit, it has to be done based on love. Can't be any other way.
That's right.
And so he goes through all this and tells you all this.
Mm-hmm.
And then in verse 8, is where he ends in verse 7 about all the things. If we walk in charity and love, these things will be there. Verse 7 says, we beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And then it shifts here. Now he says, charity, the special love, never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Now, people take this and say, well, because this was said, that means prophecy, tongues, and all that is done away with today. But we got to look at we got a text here we're going to look at. We're going to read a lot of it. Well, then we have to take the text, and we're going to come up with some kind of a context from all this, okay? And if we don't do the right way, what's going to happen? We can have a pretext. We can come up with anything we want. And that's what the church has done, I think. It says, if there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, you know, they still want knowledge today in this chapter, but they want tongues and prophecy to vanish away. Well, why don't they have knowledge vanish away? They don't. And then he says, well, we know in part and we prophesy in part. So the key thing we're going to find out with the rest of this is what would cause this to be to a day in the future when prophecies would fail, there will be no tongues and all that, no knowledge, and it shall vanish away. When will that be?
So it's all going to happen. They're
right.
All going to be gone one time.
When the perfect is
perfect.
Come, and I hear this taught that it's the canon of Scripture that was put in place is the perfect. No, there's only one perfect. His name is Yeshua. So let's read the rest of this.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, well, we know in part and we prophesy in part, and that's true. That's the beauty of a presbytery. You get several people together praying over somebody, and then we have a word for them, and God can put the whole picture together. He's not going to give it all to one person. Now, verse 10, but when that which is perfect, well, the perfect we're talking about here, if you look at it, is about Yeshua, is come, not the canon, then that which is in part shall be done away. Isn't that a fact? It will be. When I was a child, he says, I spake as a child, and I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, when I grow up, in other words, I put away what? Childish things and understand the super things that God wants, even the spiritual things, the supernatural things. Now, verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, and don't we? We sure do. We don't know everything, do we? But then face to face. This is an allusion here with Paul's talking about the Day of Atonement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know in part, don't we now? Now, Don and I, we know in part. But then, what's the then? When the perfect is come, when Yeshua, when he comes, shall I know even all as also I am known by him. Amen. We're going to know. Tells you one day when he comes, we're going to look like him. We're going to walk with him. We're going
to
talk about him.
We'll see him face to face.
We'll see him face to face. It doesn't mean we're going to be Jesus, but we're going to have all his attributes and things.
See, Moses couldn't see him face to face, could he?
No. So when we see him, will be just like him, the Bible says. And so this is important. So Paul alluded to the Day of Atonement. I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We're going to know about God in a greater way. And then verse 13 closes and says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. So charity. This whole chapter is leading down to this part at the end about if we don't do things in the love of God with people and all, then we're missing out, and God's not going to be pleased with that, and we're going to suffer loss one day in the kingdom if we don't do it in the purpose of love. So this whole thing was coming to charity. Amen? And he even says in chapter or verse 1 of chapter 13, though I speak with other tongues or with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I have become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, he said, I'm nothing. So it's all about love, isn't it? And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So it's all about love. And so we get in the middle of it, and then people's taking denominations and take this part out starting in verse 8 through 10, and they say, well, this shows you right here that tongues and prophecy is done away with. But it's not. It's not done away with.
So amen.
He's clarifying this, and so we got to keep in mind, what is the perfect? There's only one perfect one perfect man that ever walked this earth. His name is Yeshua HaMashiach. He's the perfect. He never failed one time. He never lied. He always told the truth. He only said and did what the Father told him to do. He was the perfect man. That's why he was qualified and still is qualified to be our Messiah. Aren't you glad? Yeshua HaMashiach.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the perfect. And so book that we're reading right here. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's John. Put that in the Word of God by the Holy Ghost. So this book right here, the entire book, including the First Covenant and the New Covenant, is all about Yeshua. He was the one that put it all in place. So I'm not going to take anything away, because if we do, as I said before, we're going to blaspheme the Spirit of God. We're putting a blanket over what God's wanting to be done. In the congregations, when we come together, when we meet, when we're out on the highways and the byways, and we're praying for people, what a gift to have to be able to pray in tongues. Maybe you don't know how to pray for that person. And you just quietly stop for a moment and just pray in your heavenly language. And he'll give you maybe just a couple words to start with, and then he'll give you the rest of it.
Pray in the Holy Ghost.
And so it's so important that we do that. And I'm going to go back to verse 37 in 1 Corinthians 14. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. These were all commandments about how to handle the nine manifestations of the Spirit. They're commandments. We don't pull them out and get rid of them because we think it's not for today.
That's right.
They have to be there. And if not, we're blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Amen?
And you know, I read about all the different gifts of the Spirit. And verse 11 says over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, but all these worketh that one and the same Spirit, Spirit of God, right? Dividing to every man severally as he wills, as God wills. So why isn't everyone in the church speak in tongues? Well, you know, it's because we've been taught the wrong thing. I was raised in a church that didn't speak in tongues. I speak in tongues now, but I was told that it wasn't for today. And you know, but I got hungry. And so a gift is a gift. And right. God doesn't hold back. All those 120 people in that upper room, they were all given this gift. Not just some of them, not just special ones. No, all from the most important to who might say the least important. Because that chapter goes on and talks about if you're an eye or if you're a foot, you know, what's more important?
Everything is important. Yeah.
The least part of the body is important. Maybe more important than what you think the head is, or you know. And so it goes on to talk about apostles and prophets and thirdly and different gifts in the body. But you know, it's for all the body of Christ. So the reason that some people have it or they don't have it, because a gift is a gift. You know, God, when God gives gifts, he doesn't just give gifts to certain people.
Right.
So the baptism
of
the Holy Spirit is for anyone who would ask. A free gift. It's a free gift, and
Amen.
God doesn't take it away. So, you know, if you say, well, I don't have that, Well, you ask.
Just ask today.
Just ask the Lord.
Ask.
Because he doesn't hold anything back. He wants you to have all these blessings and all these good things.
Ask
because
you shall
you're a
receive.
Minister, if you're a minister of God, you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, you know, many times it's because of what we've learned, what we've been taught. But I just want to edify you now and say, you know, this gift is for you. If you're hungry for it, God will give it to you. How hungry, how thirsty are you? These people in the upper room were hungry, they were thirsty. And Jesus said, he said he would baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire.
And they didn't know what they were going to receive,
did
they?
They didn't know, but they wanted it.
And it came.
So we don't know, but you know, when you get it, you'll know you got it, and nobody's going to ever be able to talk you out of it.
That's right.
Well, we're blessed to be on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing, from 12 noon until 1 p.m. You can go back and listen to this again. If you missed some of the scriptures, just go to WCNO.com and you can and go to Saturday, the program guide for Saturday on your device, your phone, your computer. And you can listen to, look at the date, you can listen to this again. It's called Raising the Standard with Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We do have services here in Stuart, Florida. Every Sunday we will have service. We'll have Pentecost this coming Sunday.
Hallelujah.
You'll see the wheat. We will wave the wheat. We'll wave the
two
loaves of bread. So this is the 50th day. It's this Sunday. Praise the Lord. So it's Pentecost. So we will celebrate the Feast of Pentecost this Sunday in our congregation. So come if you can. We're here in Stuart, Florida. I know you'll be blessed by it, and I know the Holy Spirit will touch you, and you will never be the same. Amen.
Right.
I want to give you our telephone number. We also have services on Friday, so if you'd like to come on Friday evenings at 7 p.m., we have our Shabbat services. So our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So as we close this program, we'll tell you one thing. You can't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost unless you're born again.
That's right.
So if you haven't accepted Christ in your life, you need to do that today.
Amen.
And then you can receive. But you that have been born again for a long time and never received it, you've been told by men that it's not for today. Quit believing what men have to say. Open up your Bible, if you got the right translation especially, and read what the Bible says and believe what the Word says. Ask the Spirit of God to show you the truth.
Amen.
In this, and you can receive this. It'll get rid of the blank. You know, it's like you got a blank wall in front of you because somebody told you it's
That's
not
right.
for today. But Jesus said in the Gospel, I think it's in Luke, he says, you can ask for the Holy Ghost and you're going to receive it. Ask and you, what? Shall receive. He's going to give it to you. And so, praise God, it's available. He wants everyone to have that power that we have to walk around. And when we get in situations we need to pray for somebody or we got a situation in our life, well, we can sit down and pray in our heavenly language and it builds us up, it strengthens us, and then we can go on and accomplish what God wants us to do. So as we close this program every week, we tell you we're here because we love you. We have charity for all of you. We want to see you raised to a new place in the realm of the Spirit in this day and this hour. So as we close, I tell you every week to look up, because your redemption draws nigh. What do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.